Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, VFN Radio, I'm John Ramos, and joining me today in the studio is Pat.
Hello, hello.
Hello, man. Hello. And Steve.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day. Well, my goodness, we want to welcome all of our VFN radio listeners all around the country and the world. It's so interesting to see people come up on you know, from Egypt. And
no, all right.
It's like, oh, my goodness, India, England is like, this is so cool. And we're just delighted to be with you. Of course, we want to welcome all of our viewers on CTN, the Christian Television News Network, and we're just excited about today's conversation. Because God's doing some exciting and wonderful things in our midst, and it's just been so amazing. But talk to us. I know, like, Steve's bubbling over here. He's got so much to share, and God's imparting to him some really just really cool stuff. But we're going to be talking today, by the grace of God, about hunger. You know, we've talked quite some time on VFN Radio, VFN TV, regarding being hungry for God. You know, it's a lot of things, you know, people go after a lot of things and they want to learn. And it's like, you know what? You can be the most learned man, the most studied man or woman in the scriptures. And by all means, I mean, we definitely encourage reading the scriptures and abiding and hearing God and studying the word of God. But we don't want to become so filled with knowledge, just truth based and just principles but we have no passion. We have no hunger. We have no desire for God and a heart that's thirsty for him. Because then we just become, you know, theological heads up here, you know, filled with stuff and, you know, info.
Yeah.
But we don't maybe have revelation. We don't have inspiration. We don't have a passion and a heart that's burning for the one, you know. We got to have a heart that's burning for Jesus. You know what I mean, Steve?
Absolutely.
So I know that God's been stirring your heart, man, and speaking to you so much about hunger. Talk to us and share with us a little bit about what God is showing you, man.
God has just shown me, it's just like how much more I want to just go after him and just wanting more of him, you know. And it's amazing. I think about, I don't remember who said it before, but it's just like, to know him is to want to know him more. Mm-hmm. It's like you just tap into anything, into Jesus, and you're just like, I've got to have more, you know? And it's just like, it's going to totally change your life completely.
Right.
Well, and it's, just recently, you know, I was in my abiding time, God was just leading me to, running my race. You know, I just think about how so many people who are, you know, Olympic runners or anybody who's in a sport, they are so focused at everything they do. It's about basically doing what they do better. And I think about that, and I was reading in Hebrews, and it talks about saying the fact that, you know, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles.
Mm.
And run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And I never really connected that, but just the Holy Spirit's just really been showing me the things that need to just really get out of my life. It might not necessarily be a sin.
Mm-hmm.
It just might be those distractions, those hindrances, and it's just really challenging me. It's just like, okay, Holy Spirit, you know, God, what are those hindrances in my life? You know, what's hindering me from just being all in? What's hindering me from just going deeper, going more in you? Because it's just like, I've seen him.
It's interesting that you say that, because, I mean, you're saying all in, you know, I know your life, we have relationship, you know, I know how much you love the Lord. We're talking about what God's speaking to us on every day.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes people can hear someone say, yeah, you know, I just want to hinder. Listen, it's, you can be on fire, you can have a flame, but I think what you're telling me, Steve, is like, I want more of the flame. I want more of the fire. I want more of the passion.
Oh, yeah.
You're not talking about, like, I'm dead. I don't, you know, I'm not abiding, and I just need to get, you know, this gross stuff. You're talking about, I'm running hard after God, and I want to run even harder after
Absolutely.
Him.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just really encouraging, because, it's like I said, it's just like doing everything for more of Jesus. Like, you're spending time in your word. And it's just like what you're saying before. It's like, I don't want to get filled with knowledge. I don't want to just memorize scripture. That's a good thing.
Sure.
that the thoughts that you have, that the words that you're sharing are scriptural. But at the same time, too, it's just like, but I want to know more of who Jesus is and encountering Jesus. It's just really changing my pursuit of him. And it's not just about reading scripture. It's just more about, like, spending time with him and just the ease of abiding.
Yeah.
But it's just really changing my time with him, my walk with him, just wanting to, you know, when I'm in the workplace or if I'm driving my car, it's just like, I think about, I'm really looking forward to that abiding time. I'm really looking forward to that time when I can just turn everything off and just spend time with Jesus because it's becoming that much more precious. It's becoming that much more encouraging. And it's just those sweet times with him.
Yeah. You know, oftentimes you'll find that folks are falling in love with the book of the Lord instead of the Lord of the book.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we've got to get that turned around. It's we've got to fall in love with God and have a passion for him. And out of that passion, we obviously want to read his word. We want to abide with him. We want to, you know, have this encounter with him that, when we're, like you're saying, Steve, abiding and spending time with him, that we're hiding his word in our heart. You know, it's living, it's breathing, it's not an informational book or a reference, right? Or a place where we gather some principles.
Yeah.
But it's literally a love letter from our Savior directly to us. And it's like, Lord, I want to know everything you have to say. I want you to speak to me in every way.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that.
Yeah. You know, we were talking about it this morning. You know, it's something that God just kind of, every now and then I'll just be just thinking about just spending time with God, and he'll just kind of like just show me a picture. He'll give me an analogy about something. And when I was a kid, one of my uncles had a boat, and I just love spending time on the water. And I just thought about how God has just been drawing me more to himself recently, and it's just like more and more. I just want more, and just that hunger and that thirst. And I started thinking about, you know, if you're familiar with boats, maybe not, but when you're on a boat and you have that throttle, and let's say that you're fully accelerating, you're going as fast as you can. They call it, you know, full throttle, wide open. I mean, the boat almost just about comes out of the water, and it's basically just the propeller that's pushing you. And, you know, you're above the highs and the lows of the water. And I thought about that, and it's just like you're so excited and you're just hungry for God. But if you were to let off that throttle in any way, and you were to go back to neutral, it's not like you coast through the water and you slowly slow down like you would. You think about a car if you put it in neutral.
Yeah.
There's almost like a lunging backwards, and you stop. And I think about that, and like we were talking about this morning, it's like there's no neutral in Jesus. There's
no neutral
in God. It's just like there's no turning back. It's just like you just want more of them. It's just like we, you know, that perseverance, that focus, that drive of just like, you know, more Jesus.
Yeah. It's so important to fan the flame. You know, God has lit a fire in your heart. You receive the Lord as your Lord and Savior, and you have a flame, you have a light. But it's so important to keep that flame lit, to keep that flame burning.
Yeah.
And I see that oftentimes where folks allow that flame to go down. It's like they've lost their passion, their zeal.
Mm-hmm.
And you've even heard like weird things like, I'm bored with God, or I'm bored. It's like, well, maybe you're bored with religion, but you can never be bored with God.
Yeah.
He is the most exciting person in the universe. Every single day is an adventure. Every day is an amazing encounter because you're interacting with the living God. When you think about it, I understand what David says. I am dust. What? Who are we that you're even mindful of us? Like,
exactly.
Mike, you pay us mind. You know what I'm saying? You give
me the time of day.
Yeah, you allow us audience with you.
Yeah.
You really. Oh my goodness! And so we're here. We want to encourage you. I mean, by the grace of God, we want to just dive all in. You know, we have four programs back to back. We're going to go to break soon, but we're going to be talking about love for God, passion for the Lord, hunger for him, and how excited. Let me tell you, hunger's contagious. You get around a couple hungry people, you're to watch out. You know, some people get on so much on fire, they have to caution folks, man on fire, be careful, don't come close because you might get burned. But this is what it's all about. You know, nobody wants to be in a relationship where, yeah, I think I like you, and it's like, yeah, this is cool. It's like, hello, you know, what's about, you know, this, you, you, Is there love here? You know what I'm saying? What's going on here? And we have to measure our heart with, you know, as Steve will send a text every now and again, are you hungry? You know, are you hungry? Mm-hmm. And I tell him, Pat, you know, I stay hungry. I don't have to get hungry. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But he says, are you hungry?
Yeah.
And I love that. And that's something that we can always ask ourselves, you know, am I more hungrier today for Jesus than I was yesterday? Mm-hmm. Is Jesus occupying more space in my mind and in my thoughts and in my conversations today? Or is he conversating, you know, am I conversating about him less and thinking about him less?
Mm-hmm.
What is the driving thought? What is the driving things that are upon your heart and upon your mind?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, it's okay to be totally consumed and filled with passion for the Lord, thinking about him. And I'll tell you, when your heart really becomes so in love with God, and you think about him all the time, he begins to share with you his secrets. He begins to tell you things. He told the disciples, you know, you're my friends. Mm-hmm. You're my friends. And he begins to reveal to him the close things on his heart. When we come back from break, we're going to talk more about this, because God desires relationship with you, not lukewarm, not cold, but absolutely on fire.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can religious media be promoted on a national level? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I've been listening to Christian radio for so many years, and there's so much good information out there. I'm wondering how come somebody doesn't start a newspaper that doesn't necessarily slant towards Christian, but tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
There has actually been, and over the past, they have had national Christian newspapers, but it's been a while. I mean, you haven't seen those in a number of years. But, you know, you got the major newspaper chains now, and I think it's probably more of an economic issue than anything else. Although you do have now with the websites, and I need to say this, there's great web resources available. There's some really good sites to go to, so while we don't have a Christian newspaper per se, there are an awful lot of good websites that have current events and news from a perspective that we would find interesting and important and correct posted online. So a lot of great resources there.
Sign up for email alerts, find key resources, and read Jay's trial notebook on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an something or an something, and put it on your desk at work, and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it, 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment, And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices, and podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker on the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says, this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so that you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, what? Did you know that China, John, is praying, and reports, I was listening to The Blaze the other day, and that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? I said, that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right.
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win. We will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talk to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
What do we have? Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now. In the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And if you're just tuning in, just catching us, we've been talking about, and by the grace of God, we're just going to continue to just to let God have his way. Mm. But we're talking about hunger and passion for God, for Jesus. And, you know, Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will, Pat, they will be filled. You know, when we are hungry and thirsty, God says, listen, get hungry. I will fill that hunger every single time. But it starts with being hungry.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with that longing, that desire, you know. As the deer pants for water, so my soul longs and yearns for you. And, you know, these are questions that we got to ask ourselves. You know, when I was talking about Joel and about the protocol for the outpouring, you know, Joel 1 talks about, you know, a spirit of mourning, of weeping, of wailing, you know, and a wail is an inarticulate a cry. Mm-hmm. And I think that we've been so filled with so many articulate prayers, nice wordsmith prayers, if you will, you know what I mean? That there isn't that longing, that inner cry, that mourn, that yearning to say, everything's got to go, but I've got to have God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And people wonder why miracles are happening all over. Well, why do these miracles happen in Africa? Why are these miracles? Because they're crying out for God.
Mm-hmm.
They just happen to be in a situation that God is all that they have.
That's right.
Yeah. But in America, we have so many things and stuff and toys and entertainment and so many distractions, Steve, that are pulling away from us that God is just an addendum to many believers. He's a part of their life, but he is not life himself. And you know that by the decisions that you make. Is everything filtered? Do you inquire of the Lord in every single decision? Or is God an afterthought?
Mm-hmm,
you know, in my abiding time, the Lord said, you know, inquire of me even when you know what the right thing to do is. Right. I go, that's interesting. Because he said, I may not want you to do it.
Yeah.
It may be the right thing, but the wrong time.
Mm.
You know, we can get so caught up thinking that we know something. And God's like, what do you know?
Right.
Just hang with me. Yeah. What do you know? Hey, relax. Chillax. Hang with me. Spend time with me. It's a relationship. And allow me to lead you. Allow me to guide you. Allow me to reveal and unveil to you what's coming next.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we position ourselves and posture ourselves in that way and start to get really serious about God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're here for just a short, limited amount of time. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, life is but a vapor. We're here and then we're gone, right? And then there's eternity. What are we going to do with eternity? What are we going to do with this man, fully man, fully God, Jesus.
Yeah. You know, it's beautiful because that's exactly so much of what God has been showing me and speaking to me. There's a one of my coworkers, when I work alongside her, she's probably late 20s, and she's always on her phone. Always on her phone, as far as like whether, you know, social media or Twitter or text messaging. And you know, those things are great. I mean, you gotta
take on phone, right?
and being connected with friends, that's great. Mm-hmm. But she's like, if she's not working specifically, more than likely she's not talking to people next to her. She is, I'm talking 7 different apps all at the same time. It's amazing. It's like, I didn't know one hand could do that many things on one phone. And the amazing thing is that she had a trip that she was going on, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden she was leaving, mm-hmm. and I don't know, she's going like to Washington or somewhere in about 2 weeks. And the amazing thing is that she all of a sudden just stopped. And all of a sudden she's like, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. And it was just like, it's amazing how focused she got, because she knew that there was a thing that she had to plan for. Right. That there was something that all of a sudden she had priorities. And then she realized the fact that, like, okay, hey, I only have a certain amount of time before I'm leaving. I'm leaving in 2 weeks. Okay, I got to get my luggage. I got to get my suitcase. I got to get, what's the weather? And she started like researching where mm-hmm. she was going and all these things, because she understood that there was a planning that needed to be done. Mm-hmm. And even God was just saying to me, it's just like, there's only a certain time, like you're saying, mm-hmm. as far as eternity, as far as this life being a vapor. And it's just like, mm-hmm. those things are great, but it's like, those things can hinder us. Because it's like, we only have a certain amount of time. We only have a certain amount of days that we have to do anything for the Lord, of spending time with him. Because it's just like, all of a sudden there's that urgency of just like, I only have, you know, a year. I only have a month.
It's so easy, man. I understand your coworkers. I understand that. I mean, you're on the phone, you're checking the weather, then you got a text, and then that notification for the email came on, and then mm-hmm. a score came up, and it's like, I was talking about something else, and 10 minutes later you're like, where am I?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's what I hear you saying is that you got to be zealous for your time. You got to seize the moment and don't allow outside influences steal your time and your passion and all that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like I said, it's just so challenging me, because like I said, there are things that I can be doing that all of a sudden you're just like, did an hour just go by?
Right.
Did 2 hours just go by? And it's like amazing. It's just like when you've got a vision, or you've got a focus, or you've got that pursuit of what it is that you're living for, you're mm-hmm. just like, it is April. It is December.
Oh, that's right.
2013.
That's right.
It's 2000. Right. Like, when did that happen?
We understand dates. We understand. Are we in April already?
Yeah. And it goes that fast, and it's just like that much more. It's like I've heard many times before. It's like you've got to take that time and force it to just be like being aware.
Make
of
it submit to you.
Yeah.
You not to it.
And that's the thing, because it's just like there's a day that we're going to stand before him and have to answer. And it's just like I want to just capture every moment that we can for him and know that we're putting it to good use.
Yeah. And when you say that, I think about oftentimes things I would challenge myself with, you know. Imagine, you know, it's all said and done. You're in heaven. We, you know, the Bible tells us some of the things, you know, doesn't tell us everything, mm-hmm. but you know, just imagine, go with me here for a little bit. And there's all these, not VHS tapes, those things are gone, but you know, in the storage cloud of heaven, there's all these videos mm-hmm. and all of your life is recorded.
Yeah.
I mean, God says that you're going to account for every single word that comes out of your mouth.
Yeah.
You have to give an account. And so everything of your life is recorded, all of your actions, all of your thoughts, all of your words. And then when the inventory of the spreadsheet of your words and the spreadsheet of your actions and of your thoughts, mm-hmm. and the whole spreadsheet is all laid out for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How much of that time were you thinking about planning vacation? How much of that time were you thinking about buying stuff? How much of that time were you on social media? Yeah. How much of this time you were on whatever? And how much time did you devote to God? Because time is really indicative of your life. That's what time is. Mm-hmm. Time is your life. Mm-hmm. So if you have an hour of time, it's an hour of your life that you are either wasting, you know, spending or investing. You know, which one is it? You know what I mean? And if you start looking at your life that way, am I wasting my life? Am I investing my life in people and God? You know? And then you realize, oh my goodness, how do you want that spreadsheet to look? You know, by the grace of God, obviously there's some natural things. You got to sleep a certain amount of time. You've got to eat a certain. You got things that you have to do. Granted, right? But how much of who you are, the constitution of your life, of your being, is focused? I mean, you can work 50 hours. People say, well, I work 50 hours a week. I can't, you know, abide all day. Hey, listen, take the Lord is inside of you. He can be with you at work. You know what I mean?
Right.
You can work with practicing the presence of the Lord all day long, you know, but what would that spreadsheet look like?
Yeah.
And I know what I want my spreadsheet to look like, you know, high bars on spending time with him and my thoughts being consumed with him. And so that's where we are in our walk and our passion, and this is what we want.
Yeah, it's just really encouraging to me, like when I look back and I think about those moments when it's just like, what did I do? And to me at the same time too, because the enemy is always going to try and steal that away. Like we've talked about before, it's just like, oh, I only got to spend 30 minutes with Jesus, or I only got to do this amount. And it's not about that, but it's about the fact that I just... Because so often we can get focused on the fact of like, okay, how much did I do this? And we can get caught up in the works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's just like that moment. It's just like every moment. And something that has always encouraged me, that when we say yes to something, let's say that, you know, we choose, okay, I'm going to abide today, or I'm going to spend time with my family. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pour into my family, whether it's an hour or whatever. I've always thought about the fact that you can only say one. Or you can only say yes to one thing at one time.
Mm.
Right.
If I say, okay, I'm gonna spend time with Jesus. When you think about that, you've said no to everything else.
Yeah.
When you decide to say, you know what, I'm gonna spend time with my spouse. I'm gonna spend time with my children. Don't let the enemy steal that, because it's like at that one moment, you're saying, I'm saying no to everything else so that I can say yes to this moment.
Yeah.
So that I can say yes to Jesus,
yeah,
for however long, and don't let the enemy just steal it. It's just like you are showing whoever it is that you're spending your time with how important they are, because it's just like you're saying no to everything else so that you can spend that time with them.
That's right. Time is valuable, and so when we invest that time that you're talking about, Stephen, you're saying I'm going to live in the moment. When I'm with Jesus, I'm going to be with Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, when I'm doing whatever, I'm going to be doing that. But we can actually carve out time to make sure that we allow the main thing to be the main thing. And if you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, he's the main thing. Mm-hmm. Spend time with him. Open up your calendar. Say, I'm going to give him the first appointment in my book. I want to spend time with him as soon as I get up and enjoy his fellowship. It's time. Let's spend more time with them. Join us. Remember, we're four programs back to back. Don't miss it. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, and not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's doubtful. It's this Hitler-like type conversations, or Aryan-type conversations, or Iranian or Muslim-type conversations, or political, which is type conversations. Or you could listen to VFN Radio. And you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's word says about it, and you can get a perspective, and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church, and they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing. And they're coming into the churches, and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand. And as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians. Mm-hmm. And the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today in the studio is the producer himself, the man that keeps everything just clicking and working just right, or wrong, so either way.
Gotta take both.
Pat!
He's the guy to look at. Hello.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing great. That is a nice shirt that you're wearing. I see that he has variety. I mean, this guy's style.
Laundry day?
Just shook the wrinkles out. And
there you go.
Also joining with us today is Steve.
Hello, sir.
Hey, man. Good to have you.
Good to be with you.
Yeah, I've so enjoyed it. I heard you on the previous program talking about just what God's doing. And It's exciting. Mm-hmm. It's exciting. If you've missed any of our programs, don't forget that we are four programs back to back to back to back. And you can catch us on many, many ways. Of course, you can always... You know, live on VFNTV.com. If you're in the Gulf Coast area, of course, CTN, Christian Television Network. Mm. And, of course, you know, we have podcasts and The Torch and so many different ways. But I encourage you, if you haven't been to VFNTV.com in a while or in the last couple of days, things are always changing. We're doing our very best to update our page and have things there for you that make it just so easily accessible. There's so much. I know everybody wants to get, you know, How can I get to this stuff? Listen, it's there. Spend a little time. We have podcasts, but every which way that you can enjoy the program, we've worked hard to make that happen for you. And we're hearing so many wonderful things. I was at the ballpark the other day, and someone downloaded the app and was like, oh, I have it on my phone now. I have it on, you know, they were like so excited.
Oh, wow.
So
cool
stuff. We've just been talking about hunger, passion for God, making sure that there are, you know, removing every hindrance that gets in our way for pursuing the one thing, mm-hmm. you know, the one thing. And the Lord is the one thing, you know, our highest calling is to love Him, God, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. Mm-hmm. That's our highest calling. That's why we exist. And by the grace of God, we're going to talk about today how love for Jesus is the foundation for any work that we will ever do for Him. You know what I mean? Yeah, we have to be in love with Him. You know, you can love something or someone, but there's quite a difference when you are in love, you know? Mm-hmm. And we want to be in love. We have so much to be in love about. And I think that we don't sometimes meditate and take the time to pause on the goodness of who He is. You know, oftentimes when you go back and you think about certain relationships in your life and you review and you start seeing some of the encounters and some of the things that you experience, some of the highs and some of the lows, and you review them, you realize, wow, man, I a sense of gratitude, love gets rekindled for that person or people in your life, and you realize, man, this is pretty intimate. This is pretty good. This is, and all of a sudden, there's a warmthness that occurs in your heart again for the people that have impacted you in that way. Well, the same is true when we have a relationship with the Lord. We are to remember the wonders of the Lord. We are to meditate on His goodness. We are to enter His courts with thanksgiving. And one of the greatest ways that you can be so filled with the majesty and the awesomeness of God is to recount all of the ways of how you're grateful for him. I mean, you can spend an hour. You can spend over an hour just thanking him for everything that he has done to you, for you, and through you.
Changes your perspective.
Completely, doesn't it? Completely. And there's something about gratitude that's so important. There's something about gratitude that just begins to open you up. But, you know, I was abiding in Revelation, and basically, you know, it's amazing. I love the book of Revelation. It's the last book in the Bible, and it's the revelation of Jesus. And in the second and in the third chapter of Revelation, it's pretty interesting. You know, we find that Jesus reveals a few things here. You know, there's a pattern that you'll find. He kind of first says who he is. Then he normally, you know, what good he sees the church doing, because it's the seven churches, right? The first, you know. And then what they need to fix, you know, what's wrong. And then you find that with each church, he offers a reward for those that overcome. He offers a reward. And this is really, really interesting. But when we look at, you know, Revelation 2, the church of Ephesus, we notice a few things, right? This is amazing to me, but it says, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks among the golden lampstands. Oh. He says, I know your deeds, okay? Your hard work, check, and your perseverance. I mean, these are people that had deeds that were good. Mm-hmm. Their actions were right. Mm-hmm. These were folks that worked hard. You know, a lot of people, you know, love to enjoy the things of God, but they don't want to invest any kind. It's going to require your life. It's going to require hard work.
Right.
We're working hard. It requires hard work. And he knows your perseverance. And perseverance is so important, because no matter where you are in your relationship with God, you're going to need to persevere. This is a real spiritual battle. If you have not noticed this already, here's a little clue. Here's a clue. The enemy, Satan, does not like you.
No.
And the minute that you have made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, he wants to steal you away.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to steal you away. And so you have to persevere. You have to press on, press through, keep on, you know, moving forward, because he's trying to do everything he can to hinder you, to entangle you, and to stop you from going hard after God. That's what he wants to do. And so this church is one that perseveres. They're saying, hey, perseverance it means that you're actually pressing through something that's difficult. It's not, you know, that's the definition. You're pushing through something that's pushing back against you. But you're going to keep going, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he says, I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. And you have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. So it's like, man, these folks are serious. These folks are really, you know, they're the real deal. And, you know, what's important, if we start looking at that, is that nothing escapes the eyes of God. Everything is before him. He knows all things. He sees all things. You know, he knows our thoughts before we're even going to think about them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can't escape him, right? And so he talks about all the things he knows. But this is what's really amazing. Jesus clearly saw that the church was working. He saw their deeds. He saw all of this stuff. But yet he had this one thing against them. Here's another clue. It's not good when Jesus has something against you. You know what I'm saying? But I've seen all your perseverance. I've seen that you're here. You're going after your church that's, you know, making it happen. You're preaching the gospel. You're serving folks. You're loving on people, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But he says, yet I have this against you. You have forsaken your first love.
Wow.
That word forsaken means abandoned. You've abandoned your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Remember the height. Remember that place of intimacy. We're talking about hunger and passion. Remember the time that you were passionate for me. Remember the time that you were hungry for me. Remember the time that although your body was physically wasted, you wanted to stay up a little later just to be with me and my word, right? That you wanted to go harder after me, even though you were invited to go out and have a meal and do something else. You really wanted to, you declined all that stuff and said, I want to spend time with the Lord. I want to just read my Bible right now. I just want to be amongst my brothers and sisters that are going after him. You know what I mean? So he says, you have this one thing. I have this one thing against you. You've left your place of intimacy and that place for love. And this was interesting. I saw this. A friend of mine, Ryan Bruss, posted this, and I thought this was so cool. I saw this the other day, and I think it just resonates with everything that we're saying here today. It says, passion to do the work of the Lord can never become greater than passion for the Lord of the work. I'm gonna say that again. Passion to do the work of the Lord can never become greater than passion for the Lord of the work. And, you know, you're working hard and you're doing things for God and all this stuff is great and wonderful. But where's the passion for the Lord?
Yeah.
Where's the passion for him?
Yeah, it reminds me of what Jesus also said in Matthew 7, which is real similar to what he just said in Revelations. He says, many will come to me on that day.
Mm.
He says, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out demons? Didn't we perform these miracles? Didn't we, you know, do this awesome radio program? Didn't we do, you know, whatever God's called you to do?
Right. Did you love?
Yeah, exactly. Then he says, but then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. In other words, you never spent time with me. You didn't abide with me.
Wow.
I don't know who you are. Who are you?
Who are you?
You did all this stuff, but I don't know who the heck you are.
Mm.
Isn't that wild?
That's scary. That puts a fear of God in me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't get caught up and lost in the work and forget who you're doing it for.
Yeah.
Right. If you think about the one who is love, are we loving? Because we can so do something like you're saying. It's like the foundation of what we're doing has to be love. It has to be rooted in love. And so often it's like that's been a constant. Like you're saying, just the fear of the Lord. So it's like, why am I doing this? Because if I'm doing it for love, it doesn't matter how it's received. It doesn't matter what's said about it or not. Because if we're doing it for Jesus, if we're doing it in the root of love, we're just choosing to love.
Yeah. Your passion, you know, for God is your fuel to just keep moving and doing things for him. You know, you're just in love with him. So there's no cost, if you will. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And someone's like, yeah, I mean, there is a cost. Don't get me wrong. But it's almost like, man, I'm glad to pay the cost. This means like nothing to me because I'm just so in love for you. And that's what love does. Love causes you to pay, you know, exorbitant amount of prices. When you think about a parent and what a parent is willing to sacrifice for a parent that loves their child, right? A parent that truly loves your child, they go through the extraordinary lengths. They make amazing sacrifices. It costs them their time, their energy. Everything. It costs them everything to really love on that child and be there for that child and help that child develop and grow, right?
Yeah.
To a, you know, godly young man, godly young woman. It costs you everything.
Yeah.
It really does. And so with that, you don't mind paying the price. What parent? Mm-hmm. What parent says, well, you know, it cost me my life that he's a godly son or daughter, you know, and. Mm-hmm. I'm still upset about that because I could. No, your parents are going to say that. They're going to say, I'll pay it all over again. I'll sacrifice whatever I have to sacrifice again because it was worth it. Because it was my love for my son. It was my love for my daughter that you know, fueled me to do what I, you know, did and say what I had to say and make whatever sacrifices were necessary because love was the driving force of what motivated me to do.
Right. And it's amazing because, like you're saying, that when you really see all the things that, like you're saying, it's just, it doesn't matter. You lay down, like you're saying, we've talked about just serving, the love, and it's just like, recently what God's been showing me about Paul and so many of the awesome things that, that Paul was used to do and the hardships that he went through, he didn't care. He understood the fact that, you know, this is my service. I
was called. Yeah. This is my lot in life. Yeah. I love him.
And to me, that's such a perspective that comes from love, because we were talking about that recently, is he had such a love encounter with Jesus, is that even in his brokenness and his utter need for Jesus, God still loved him. And through that love encounter, he was able to do so much and go through so much persecution. But he was like, I feel an honor that I'm even called to serve him.
Right.
And it's just like, that's that love perspective, because when we begin to do things from love, it totally revolutionizes what it is that we're doing, because it just doesn't matter, because we're all doing it for him.
Right.
Absolutely. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue to talk about love being the absolute foundation for any work that we do for God. It all starts and it's all about love for him. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. We want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, and as a pastor or just as a brother or sister, I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time, he'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. And he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. It's, and let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there, as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing, and that's saying, well, do this, and people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions, that really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the Multiply, it's the MultiplyMovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe VineFellowshipNetwork.org is for you. Or go to MultiplyMovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. Or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And before the break, we were just talking about love for God, love for God, and this awesome quote that says, passion to do the work of the Lord can never become greater than passion for the Lord of the work. Mm-hmm. See, that's the order. The order is passion for God first. And so you see workers, I mean, working is good for God. Mm-hmm. I mean, doing something for God, that's a beautiful thing. But here's the difference. Lovers work because of love.
Mm-hmm.
That's why lovers work. Lovers work because they are filled with love for God, and they know that themselves are, you know, that they are loved.
Yeah.
But workers work to earn love. And we don't need to, you know, we're not earning anything with God. He's already done everything that you know, we need.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to love him.
That's right.
You know, enjoy him.
Mm.
And when we enjoy him and his presence and who he is, then we just can't help but to do something for him. It's like, yeah. I've got to do something for you. Can I do anything for you?
Yeah.
I'd be happy to be a gatekeeper in your house. What can I do for you?
Right.
Because I'm so filled with love. And gratitude. See, that's the difference. When love is in, it's like, whatever.
Right.
Clean this, pick up that. What, I mean,
right. Pass
what?
Me the broom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me do anything. I just want to be a servant. And that's what minister is. The minister is a servant of the Lord. He wants to serve God. She wants to serve God with everything that they have in any capacity that there is. They just want to show some sort of gratitude and says, if this life, if whatever... Whatever this little frail life can do for you, if you would allow me the privilege, please. And that's you know, where we need to be. But it was interesting how we saw all this stuff that the church in Ephesus was doing. And you look at, you know, a lot of the American church is like, seemingly on surface, everything looks like, wow, all this stuff is happening and the gospel's being preached and people are being touched and, you know, all this stuff. But... where's the love? You know, is there passion behind that for him, for the Lord? And this is a reminder to us not to abandon that,
right.
Not to forsake that, not to give that up. And this is what he says, though. He says, look, remember the heights to which you have fallen.
Yeah.
Look back. Look back at that time. And maybe you're listening to us or seeing us today and you're like, you know, man, I remember that. If your reference to when you were the hottest for God was when you got saved 20 years ago, you know, that's a clue. If your reference to, oh yeah, that time of the Lord was 5 years ago, a month ago, I mean, that can change. It says, remember what, go back to that place. Go back to where you were. It says, remember the height from which you have fallen and do what? Repent.
Right.
Repent and do what? Repent and do the things you did at first. Do what you did before. What was happening in your life?
Mm.
What were you doing? And you realize that, yeah, at that time of my life, I was probably more humble. I was probably more desperate.
Yeah.
You know, I had greater need for God. Nothing else mattered because we needed to hear God. So we focused our life and our family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we told our family we couldn't do these things. You know, I know that everyone's going here and doing that. But right now, we just need to focus our 100% attention on the Lord. We're going to spend time in the Word of God as a family. You know, all these different things.
Yeah.
What were you doing? What were you doing?
Right.
And I, you're almost sure that if you start inventory your life, you know, I've had opportunity to speak with folks, you inventory your life, you realize somewhere down that path, you got tripped up.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere down that path, you got blessed, and maybe you were overtaken by the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And so now work has overtaken your ability to really spend time with God the way you want it to, or you got overtaken by something else, and it's like everything else crowded out that passion for him. So he says, repent. Stop doing what you're doing because it ain't working.
Mm-hmm.
And if you continue to do work for God without a passion for him, then what becomes is just religious works.
Yeah.
And God's like, you know, I really don't need that. You know, you're doing stuff, you know, but it's like, you know when someone's really doing something for you because they love you or because it's like, this is the obligation. I know what I'm supposed to do.
They're going
to
remind you what they did for you later.
You know, it's like, you know, I'm just kind of doing it. This is what I'm supposed, as opposed to, man, Steve, I really want to do this for you.
Just because.
Yeah, because I love you, you know. I want to do this for you.
And you've said before too, as far as just, you know, questioning, okay, why is it the reason why we're doing what we're doing? And so, like you're saying, you know, we can, somewhere along the lines, we've gotten tripped up. I don't know, mm-hmm. me personally too, it's just like, in that beginning moment of our salvation, it's just like, I'm desperate. I'm just, all of a sudden you realize how much you need God and you're hungry for God. And, you know, pride can kind of begin to creep in. And all of a sudden we begin to lean on what we know or what we've learned instead mm-hmm. of the God that revealed it to us or Jesus that taught us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, don't lean on what you've learned. Don't lean on what you can do. Lean on the one who made it known to you.
Mm. Mm. It's so powerful. Exactly. Because you know that something's wrong there when you begin mm-hmm. to, you know, dust your Bible off, maybe you begin to start reading it, and you automatically assume that you know what the scriptures are saying mm-hmm. or what God's saying to you that day because you've yeah. read that story before.
Right.
Oh, I've heard that message preached before. Oh, I know the 5 loaves, the 2 fish. Yeah, yep, yeah, yep, yeah, yep. Yeah. No, no. The word's not fresh to you anymore. Your heart's not soft anymore. You're not eagerly anticipating
yeah.
what God's going to reveal and unveil to you afresh this morning. Yeah, I've read this 1,000 times, but Lord, you're God.
Yeah.
You can do anything. Yeah. Here I am. Speak to me. Mm-hmm. Stir my heart. But this is what happens. He says, if you don't repent, I'm going to come and remove your lampstand.
Yeah.
I'm going to remove your lamp. The lampstand is to give light. Mm-hmm. And if you have no intimacy and you have no light, there's no need for the lampstand. Listen, I'm encouraged to say, let's go back. Let's return to our first love. Let's remember the heights of which we have fallen, and let's return to a place where we can be passionately in love for God, serving him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength,
mm-hmm.
and saying, God, here I am. I want to know you more. I'm not satisfied. I don't want to just love you. I want to fall in love with you more and more and more. Listen, you only have one chance to walk on this earth. No one's promised tomorrow. Seize the day. Seize the moment and say, God, I'm not satisfied with religion. I'm not satisfied with just doing stuff. I want to just live for you and love you with everything that's in my being. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this up in this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to
yes.
cause this to come amongst our nation. The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you.
take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on at VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.